Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, what a wonderful name. Deuteronomy chapter 4 in your Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. We like the kids to experience church service, and then they have junior church. We like the kids to experience that. The kids learn how to sit in church and learn how to even learn how to worship. We've had little kids in here know how to worship the Lord and get close to God. And we want that. We want that in their lives. We want them to learn and to know God in a real way. And a lot of churches, they don't want the kids in the auditorium. They don't want them around. They put them in, right in the nursery, get rid of them. And I like for them, as long as they're not disruptive, you know, like a baby is crying and mama knows to take the baby out. But if we can get the baby back in, I had all my kids sitting in church. I had them sit in there so they learn what church is all about. And they're part of the church, amen? Take your Bible, look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. And it's a new generation come along, and Moses is teaching them and trying to tell them about the Lord and not to turn their back on God. And we're in the summertime right now, and you're going through this summertime blues. You go through this, you kind of get backslid. You kind of go off and you'll get backslid because you want to go on vacation, want to take it easy, want everything a little bit, you know, and the kids are wanting to go to the beach. The kids want to go. Christians don't go to the beach. They go to the water. And whenever I used to take my kids to the water down in Pensacola, we'd go down where nobody was at. We didn't want to be around a bunch of crowd and people running around naked and all that stuff. We didn't want to be around that. And we try to separate that. And we just wanted the kids to be able to have a good time in the water. We didn't want to take them away from that. But we wanted them to understand that we wanted to be separate from the world. Not saying we're better than anybody else, but just to be separate from the world and not go around. You know, they got bikinis that they're wearing. The girls wearing, they're showing everything. They don't leave. There's just everything being shown. And they're not ashamed of it. They walk around and acting like, you know, they're strutting themselves and all that stuff. We try to keep the kids away from that. Why? Because the boys' hormones, girls' hormones go crazy. And they don't need to see that because they'll go even more crazy, even a man. If you got any red blood in you, brother, I'll tell you what, you don't need to be looking at that either. Because the devil will work on your mind and mess your mind up. But Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is reminding the children of Israel. And he says in verse 22, he says, I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess the good land. Take heed unto yourself, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you the covenant of your God, which you have made with you and made you a graven image and the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. And that Bible tells you God is jealous over his children. He's jealous over you. Even not like a man with jealousy in that sense of wanting to kill somebody, but God is jealous God. He's a jealous God over you. You're his and your purchased possession. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, talking about your grandkids, and you shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves, make a graven image and likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. And we know he did this. Everything we're reading, God did. Already passed. It's already done to happen. He says, and there shall be and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations. And you shall be left few in number among the heathen, where the Lord thy God shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood, stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And when thou art in tribulation, trouble coming down. It said, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy father, which he sware unto them. For ask now for the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day of thy God created man upon the earth, ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there have been any such thing as this great thing is, or have been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or have God stayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptation, by signs, by wonders, by war, and by a mighty hand, by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord thy God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? God destroyed the nation of Egypt before their eyes without even firing a shot. He destroyed them. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord thy God, the Lord, he is God, and there is none else besides him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed his great fire, and have heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Moses is instructing this generation to come along, and Moses is telling them, because your fathers wouldn't obey the Lord, they went away and they made graven images, they did all this stuff. He said, if you'll just do right, God will bless you. If you'll live for him, God will bless you, and God will take care of you. And he said, but if you don't, get reminded, this is what's going to happen. And it did happen. And we read our Bibles, we read all the way through there where the children of Israel end up turning their back on God, and you think, what's the matter with them stubborn Jews? I mean, we know Adolf Hitler killed 6 million of them. Adolf Hitler with his mouth caused 30,000 men and women to die. And we know all these battles took place, and the nation of Israel was taken out of their land by Rome, and all these things happened. And God said, I'll do this. Now, when God says something, brother, you can mark it down. Sister, you can mark it down that it's going to happen. God made promises. God made promises to his nation. He made promises to the Jewish people. And Moses is rehearsing this in their ears. And he's telling this new generation that come along, don't turn your back. Don't do like your fathers did. And man, and they did. They end up backsliding on the Lord. And they end up turning their back on God. And man, Moses is trying to get them to think about what's going to happen in the future. And he says, because, look at verse 37, because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out of, in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. And see, he's saying, man, God did this thing, and y'all know he did it. You know what he's done, and God's delivered your people and your families, and here you are this day. Go in and possess the land. Do what God said. Don't make no graven images. Don't do those things. While we was in Israel, we went over, and we went to the tribe of Dan. We went up and saw where Dan was in Israel, and Dan had a golden calf they set up. And Dan ended up going, like the rest of the 10 tribes, they went into captivity. They went under the Babylonian captivity. When you read your Bible in the book of Daniel and back through Jeremiah, they go into captivity. What they did, they backslid. They backslid on God. And that backsliding is turning your back, going backwards, rather than going forwards. And they weren't going forward, they were going backwards. And that backsliding, that's what it is. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 14, I'm going to preach on backsliding this morning. You say, why are you preaching on backsliding? Because what happens during the summertime, as all the time really, but during the summertime even more, people start backsliding. They start backsliding. You say, well, backsliding is an Old Testament word, it's an Old Testament thing, but we still do it. If you're not going forward as a child of God, if you're not moving forward in your Christian walk, then you're backsliding. You're going backwards. And God never parts waters for any Christian going backwards. And the Bible says, here's another verse. It says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. God have mercy. God have mercy. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. The prodigal son with backslid, went away from the home, went away from the farm, went away from the family. And he got his money, went out and lived a righteous living and lived the way he wanted to live. And he backslid. And you know what happened? You know what? He ended up down there eating out of the hog pen. And he came to himself. He came to himself. What I'm trying to do this morning, I'm trying to wake you up a little bit. Seems like everybody's kind of been drowsy, kind of spiritually drowsy, and we could try to wake you up, man, don't backslide. You say, what, preacher, everybody backslide. Yeah, everybody does, but you ain't got to stay in a backsliding condition, amen? You ain't got to stay in that place. I mean, man, you got to wake up. You got to shake up. As a preacher myself, I got to stir myself up. I got to get right with God. I got to get right on a daily basis, get right with God, get things right in my life, and say, man, God, I want to be used by you. I got to wake up and realize, man, I'm in a position of authority. I'm in a position of leadership. And the Bible says I'm an overseer for the church of God. And I've got to get in the place where I've got my mind right, got my heart right, and I'm trying to live for God and wanting to see people saved. Everybody gets backslidden, but you ain't got to stay there.
Amen.
The backslider in heart shall be filled in his own way. Can you imagine if God gave you your own way? I pray all the time. I say, Lord, I don't want my way. God, don't let me have my way. If I have my way, I'll turn my back on you. I'll go away from you. I'll backslide on you. I'll do all the wicked things I did before. God, don't let me have my own way.
Amen.
A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. Jeremiah, go in the book of Jeremiah. Go over here to Jeremiah now. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. You know why he's called the weeping prophet? Because God's telling him what he's about to do to the nation of Israel. And you know, I realize this. God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're his children. And I realize that, but a child of God can backslide. They can get cold towards God. And the Lord says in Revelation, he says to the church of Ephesus, I got something against you. He said, because you're cold and your heart is not right. You've left your first love. And what happens during the summertime, what happens to the time in our own lives, we'll get cold towards God. We'll get cold just like a husband and wife, and they'll get cold towards each other. And God will get cold towards God, and the Bible says he's a jealous God. And he says, come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, draw nigh to God and resist the devil. He'll draw nigh to thee. Talking about the Lord draw nigh close to you. And what happens is, as a child of God, we'll get looking at this and doing this and doing that. And we quit reading our Bible, quit praying during the summertime, and we'll start going out, wanting to have a good time, wanting to say, man, we deserve it. We deserve a vacation. We ought to go on vacation. I just need a vacation. Everybody, every time I turn around, people say, I need a vacation. I need to get away from things. I said, get away from what? You're still with you, man. If you go on a vacation, you're still there, and you're still the problem in your own life. You're still the problem. Amen. Backslider in heart shall be filled his own way. Look in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 2, verse 19. He says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that there's an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. You know what? If people say, well, I fear God. I love the Lord. I fear God. But why do we do what we do? Why do we live the way we live? When we know God's a jealous God. We know what the Bible says about backsliding. We know what the Bible says. Look in Jeremiah again. Look in Jeremiah chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Look what Jeremiah says. He's telling this nation. You said this is talking to the nation of Israel. You can apply it to your own life. You can apply this to your own life. I mean, man, children of God. I mean, today, in this day and time, is probably one of the worst times in Christianity. When you say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, when it comes to spiritual walk with God, this is one of the worst times. It's called the Laodicean age. It's called the Laodicean church. And the Laodicean church is cold, man. And the Lord's trying to get in the door. He's outside knocking on the door. And inside, they're asleep. They're cold. They're filled their own way. They want to do their own thing. And everybody wants to do their own. They don't want no preaching. They don't want nobody to correct them. They don't want to hear nothing on the fear of God. They don't want to hear nothing about something being wrong. They don't want to hear nothing preaching on sin. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Why? Because they want to do their own thing. And the Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled their own way. God have mercy if that happens. That's the truest statement I've ever read. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6, and the Lord said unto me, in the days Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel have done? She is going up upon every high mountain, under every green tree. There have played the harlot. Here's Israel, the one that's supposed to see. The reason why God separated Israel, because of Abraham. Abraham made a covenant with God. And Abraham believed in one God. One God. See, all the nations believed in many gods. And they had all kinds of gods they worshiped. Abraham believed in one God. And the Bible did one God in three persons. And one God, three persons. And Abraham believed that all the other nations, they believed in all kinds of gods. They worshiped cow. They worshiped birds. They worshiped people. They worshiped kings. They worshiped all kinds of things. And when God separated Israel, they worshiped only one God. And they knew who God was. And they seen the miracles that God did for them in Egypt, how he brought them out, how he delivered them. And I'm going to tell you something, Christian. We've all seen what God's done in our own lives. And we've turned our back on him at times. And we get cold towards him. And we don't sing praises to him like we call this a worship service. And man, we don't sing the praises from our hearts. We're not thankful like the Bible says we ought to be. We're not thankful for what God's done for us in our lives. And we get to the place and you say, what happens? You get backslidden. You get cold towards God. And the Lord says, I got something against the church of Ephesus because you've left your first love. When you start, your love starts getting cold. You know what happens to a man when his love between him and his wife gets cold? He starts looking for love in all the wrong places. He starts looking around. A woman, the same thing. They start looking for love in other places. Young girls looking for somebody to love them. Young men looking for somebody to love them. I'm going to tell you something. God loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants to draw you closer to him. And he says, come on to me. Come to me. Come to me. I'll draw you. You'll be happy. You'll have peace. And people sit around. I ain't got no peace. I'm bored. I don't have no comfort. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell right then. You're backslidden.
Yeah, that's right.
You're backslidden. If you don't have no comfort, you need to pray. Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for backsliding on you. Forgive me for turning my back. The Bible says they went under every green tree, and what they were doing, they were worshiping all kinds of things. They were worshiping trees. They were worshiping animals. They were worshiping all that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. And I saw when all the calls, and I saw when all the causes whereby backslidden Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. God divorced Israel. And yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. I mean, they were worshiping stocks, they worshiped animals, they worshiped, set up stones, and they had an altar, and they worshiped all kinds of stuff. They sacrificed their children to idols and gods. You don't believe that? In the Bible, they were taking on the god of Moloch. They were taking on the god of Ammon. They worshiped, killed their children. You know what America's been doing for the past 50 years? We've been killing our children.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Been killing them. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Abortions.
Right.
People going out playing the harlot, playing the whoredom, and going out having children and aborting them, getting rid of them. Well, I don't want that child. I don't want that. I don't want to raise that kind. That's too much commitment. And then somebody a guy will marry, have a baby with a girl. And I say, hey, you going to marry him? He's like, oh, no, I ain't going to marry her. I can't get along with her. Why would you have a baby with her? Why would you do such a thing to that child? You're saved. Backslidden. Backslidden.
Amen.
Backslidden. So, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. I mean, I'm trying to wake you up. Verse 11 of Jeremiah 3, verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backslidden Israel have justified herself more than that treacherous Judah. You know what you do? You know what you do when you backslide? You'll justify it. You'll justify your backslidden condition. Well, I can't come to church preaching because of this. I can't do right because of this. You know, so-and-so goes to that church, and so-and-so, they say they are Christian. Look what, I mean, folks, I've heard everything. So-and-so goes to your church. I've seen them out doing that. I said, I know all that. That don't keep me from serving God.
Amen.
That don't keep me from doing what's right. What about you? You use that for excuse.
Yeah.
Go ahead and backslide. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
Look at verse 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north. And say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. For I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord. And I will not keep thee, keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. You know what that Bible tells us? It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, I think one of the greatest verses for a Christian in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what you can do this morning if you're backsliding? Confess it. Amen. Get it right. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know what we'll do, though? We'll justify it. You say, well, so-and-so's doing it. You know what teenagers do whenever they, you know, they want to use somebody or they want to go do something? They always say, well, so-and-so's doing it. Well, look at their mom and dad. They go to church and they go this. I used to tell my kids, I don't care what they do. I don't care what they do. Makes no difference in my household. You're going to do what I said. Amen. You tell your kids, you say, man, you're going to do what I tell you. Hey, man, y'all know me. I'm not a mean man. I'm not mean like that. I'm not a hard man. But I'm telling you, folks, backsliding. You better watch it. You better be careful. The Lord's telling Israel, you better get right. Look at verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of the city, two of the family, and I will bring you to Zion. You know what, Israel, you go to Israel right now, 80% of the population don't believe in God. You know what the Bible tells us? If you've been in this church long enough, you read the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the Bible tells us they're going to go through a tribulation like they've never done before. They're going to go through hell on earth. And I'm going to tell you something. When you backslide on God and you go away from God and you justify it, guess what? You're going to go, as a child of God, you'll go through hell on earth. You'll go through hell on earth as a child of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand.
Amen.
You'll go through hell on earth as a child of God for backsliding on the Lord. You know what my job is? I'm always saying, hey, get right, read your Bible, pray, don't go back, don't stay in church, but man, pray for so-and-so, pray for this, pray for that. And this day and time, we're more or less, marriages are falling apart, Christian marriages. Why? I'm not happy. He just don't show me love like he used to. You know, young girls, let me tell you something. You think that guy, he's showing you love right now for what he can get from you. He'll show you love for what he can get from you. But then after he got what he wants, and then he'll throw you away like a piece of trash. I've seen Christians do that. So-called Christians. Look at verse 22. Return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. The Lord said, I'll heal your backsliding. I'll help you out if you'll just come back to me. Just come on back to me. You know what Hosea said? Hosea had one of the worst tasks of all the prophets. And the Lord told him, go marry a harlot. Go marry a harlot. He said, go marry this harlot and make her yours. But she's going to go away from you. She's going to go play the harlot with all the other men. How would you like to have a wife knowing that if she goes out every night, you know she's with other men? They made an old country song, you know, Ruby. I remember that old song. How many of y'all remember that old country song, Ruby? Don't go out tonight. How would you like to have a wife then knowing that every time she went out, or a husband, every time he went out, he was with somebody else? And the Lord says, you stepping out on me. You know, as a child of God, we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. We're a part of him. Man, when you go away from God and you backslide on him, sometimes you'll step away from him and you'll get hard towards him and you won't have no feelings towards him and you won't love him like you used to. I remember some of y'all, when y'all was, man, the church service going on, y'all used to praise and weep and to cry and thank the Lord for his goodness. And what happens now? You gotten hard. You got cold. You sit there when the Spirit of God's moving, you go, and you harden yourself. Said, why? Because you got plans. The backsliding heart shall be filled with his own way. You got plans. You know what's going to happen? It's all going to turn to crud. It's all going to turn to crud. Guarantee it. Guarantee it, no doubt about it. Guarantee it, it's going to turn to crud. Look, the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 16, and for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. And now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. He said, what is a heifer? What is a heifer? What is he talking about? As Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. You know what a backsliding heifer is? As they're out there in the field plowing. And they're out there plowing. They're supposed to be plowing a row. I never forget Brother Glenn Stocker preaching here one time. His daddy was a farmer. He had 6 sections of land. I didn't know what a section was. I went to Texas. I've been preaching out there. First time I went out there, and he rode by the ranch. And Glenn Stocker got saved. His father cut him out of the inheritance. He was a cowboy. And his father had a big old ranch. And we're riding down there. He goes, that's where my dad spread right there. And we're riding by there. And I said, really? How many acres did you have, Dad, have? He says, oh, we don't go by acres out here, brother. He said, we go by sections. And I said, oh, really? I didn't know. I mean, I'm a city boy, man. I don't know nothing about no country. I don't even know nothing about farming, nothing. I don't know nothing about farming. Some of y'all, we got farmers in here, and I don't know nothing about farming. And I would like to learn, but I ain't got time. But anyway, long as Walmart and all the rest of them sell tomatoes and all that stuff, I'm fine. But if that goes out, brother, I'll be farming for sure. But anyway, I'm riding there, and I said, how many sections does your daddy have? He said, 6. I said, 6 sections. I said, oh, we rode along a little way, and we still ride. He said, this is still my dad's land. We're still riding. I mean, we're riding miles. And I said, that's still your dad's land? I said, how big is a section? He said, 6. It's a square mile. 1 square mile. And I went, good Lord. And you got cut out of that? I said, man. But his daddy ended up getting saved. And he said, Glenn said, when he was out there plowing, he said, all he could look forward to was to get to the end of the row and then turn that tractor around and come back again. And I seen rows. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, rows, when you're planting? And he was out there planting. He said, all I could look forward to is getting to the other end and turn around and come back. And you know what he said about a backsliding heifer? Yeah, a heifer, you be going along, and that heifer, you're trying to plow, and you're trying to plow a row, and the heifer goes off and tears up the other rows. And goes off, that tears up the other rows. You know, as a child of God, what we're supposed to do is supposed to stay in our lane. We're supposed to keep on plowing straight ahead, not looking back, not turning around, not going to the left, not or right and left, not doing all that. Supposed to go straight ahead. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not walking a little further this year than you were last year for the Lord, then you're backsliding. You need to walk forward closer to the Lord. What happens, most of the Christians, they start backsliding, they get further away from God. And before long, they start going to the back door, and they go to the back pew. And before long, we look around, where they go? And I don't remember where they, because like that, my sister just said, my Myers, and now I remember Sister Myers now. I remember now. But if I don't see you on a daily basis, a guy came up to me late yesterday at a funeral. He said, hey, preacher, and he hugged me. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? He goes, how you doing? You preaching? I said, yeah, I'm preaching. He goes, and I said, who are you? And he told me his name. He said, preacher, I came to church for 8 months. I said, brother, I don't remember. Your face looked familiar, but if you don't come steady, I forget. You know why? I'm getting Alzheimer's or something. 62 years of sometimers or whatever it is. I'm forgetting, man. I forget. And people say, well, you said you're going to do this or you're going to do that. I forgot. Don't hold it against me, man. I forget. Just remind me. I'll do it. He said, you're backsliding. Now, I'm going to preach just a minute. Time's already gone. The cause of backsliding. Number one, forgetfulness. You forget about how good God's been to you. I mean, man, number one, forgetting how good God's been, what he's brought you through. I mean, some of y'all, God's brought you through health problems. He's brought you from death's door all the way up to now. He's brought you back, man. He's blessed you. He's blessed your home. He's blessed your family. God's brought you back. And what happens to you? You start forgetting what God's done for you. We're all in the same boat when it comes out. You forgot what God's did. You forgot where he delivered you from. And I mean, folks, I came from a bad background. I came from a bad lost condition. And man, I know where God brought me from. I know what he's done for me. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful for what he's done. I talked to my sister the other day. I got a brother who's got life in prison. I got a brother who's got life in prison. He calls me every week. And I can see him leaning against a wall. And I can see he right in the middle of the thing. He'll go, hey, come on, man. I'm talking on the phone because there's people behind him. And he's been in there since 1975. I know where God brought me from. I know how good he's been to me. Amen. That's good for you. I don't want to forget what he's done for me. Amen. He's blessed me and my wife. He can give us our children, our grandkids. And we enjoy them. And we don't fight. We don't argue when we get together. Man, what happens is, man, you forget what God's done. That's the number one reason why most people backslide. You forget what God's done for you. You forget how good he's been to you. And Moses is reminding the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 4, don't forget. Don't forget. Amen. We look at 1 Kings and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and you say, and this day served God as long as this king was alive. Some of them served 20 years, 30 years. You think, man, them stinking Jews, they only could serve 20, 30 years. How long have you been serving him? How long have you turned, your back on him? Have you been faithful to him, trying to love him, trying to keep going? I'll tell you something else why they forgot. It's false worship. You start worshiping other idols. You start getting your mind on other things. And I said, Lord, anything that cools my love for him is the world.
Yeah. Yep.
Anything. If I start finding myself going after things, I say, whoa. I put the halt on that thing. I mean, I had bosses offer me big money. I've had cars wanting to give to me. I mean, I was down in Texas. Guy wanted to give me a Corvette. And he drove it to church and said, I want you to drive it home. I've had people try to give me Mercedes and try to give me this. I said, no, I don't want them. Anything that's going to cool my love. He said, well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I come home and told my kids about it. And they said, Daddy, you should have got it. He gave it to me. And I said, man, I ain't going to do that. Anything that will cool my love. You know, God's been good to me. I don't want to forget what he's been, how good he's been to me. False worship. You start worshiping something. You start worshiping the job. You start worshiping the house. You start worshiping football players, basketball players. You start worshiping some sports star, some TV star, and try to pattern your life after them.
Yeah.
That's false worship. You see girls walking around trying to pattern themselves after some latest American idol. After some other one, and I'm going to tell you something, if God's blessed you with a voice, God's given you things, I'm going to be able to praise him and worship him with it. And I'm going to tell you something, you'll thank God and be blessed by God.
Yeah.
If not, you look at all the movie stars have been married over. They thought they found Prince Charming, and they've been married over and over. And I just saw on the news where Heather Locklear, she was a beautiful young model, and she was a beautiful woman. And, man, now they showed her picture of being arrested, and she's just a drunkard, and she's a druggie and everything else. She's been in jail. I mean, all of them, they end up like that. False worship. Children of Israel started worshiping idols. And God said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll break your heart and break his heart. You start putting things before God. I remember Jim Delsmith, the guy who led me to the Lord. He said this. He said his mama, he called up. He was a former president of Hell's Angels of the St. Louis chapter. He said his mama, he called home one day, and he was partying on a Saturday night, and he called home to talk to his mother. And his brother got on the phone. His brother worshiped his older brother. He wanted to be just like his older brother, Jim Delsmith. Jim Delsmith led me to the Lord. And Jim Delsmith said this. He said, his brother got on the phone and said, Mama said, your God is your motorcycle. You can make a motorcycle your God. And she said, that's why I don't have one. I don't want anything. I don't want anything that's going to take away my love for God and his service. And he said, let me talk to mom. And his mother got on the phone. He goes, what are you doing telling my brother that my God is my motorcycle? She says, because it is. And he said, I'm going to prove something to you, mama. I'll be in church tomorrow morning. She went to a Baptist church. She was in the choir. And Jim Dale Smith told this story. He said he pulled up. He was drunk from the night before. They were all partying, all the Hell's Angels together. They were partying, doing all kinds of stuff. He said he woke up around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And he realized, man, he had to go an hour to go to church where his mama was. And he said he jumped on his Harley. He said, I was still high, had a buzz. I'm riding down the road, man, no helmet and everything. I'm riding down the road trying to get to this church. He said, I missed the church. I whipped around, went up in the church parking lot or in the church grass. And he said, I tore the grass up, pulling up in front of the church and got out, kicked the kickstand out. He said, let somebody say something to me about my motorcycle. So he said he left the motorcycle parked right in the grass. And he said he went inside the church, and he said he came in. He said, I came in to intimidate the preacher. He said he came in, and when he came in, the choir was singing. His mama was up in the choir, and she was singing. As soon as she saw him walk in, she got weeping. Mama prayed for him. And she started weeping when he walked in, and he walked all the way down and sat on the front row. And he said, thank God that preacher you couldn't intimidate him. He said, that preacher that morning said, I'm changing my message this morning. I'm preaching on hell.
Amen.
And he said, every time he preached on hell, every time he said something about hell, he said, you're going to hell. He said, he pointed his finger right at me. He said, man, he said, I was intimidated. He said, I felt the Spirit of God in there. I got shaken. I got shook up. He said, man, I fell on the altar. And my mama was weeping and crying, all the people around her. And he said he fell down on the altar and asked God to save him. He went back after he got saved. Everybody was congratulating him. And he said, they said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to have to get out of the Hell's Angels. I got to get out of that mess. I'm going to live for God. And he, man, he really got on fire. And man, he's the one that was preaching the night I got saved. That was 40-some years ago. And he said, he went back to the gang and told him I got saved. They said, laughed at him and mocked him. He said, I'm not drinking no more. I'm not drugging no more. And it went on for a couple of days and a couple of weeks. And when he finally, a couple of weeks went by, they said, hey, man, you're serious, ain't you? They all got drunk one night, and he was there. And he came up to try to talk to him about the Lord. They beat him to a pulp. They put him in the hospital. He said, well, I wasn't planning on getting out that way, but that's the way, a good way to get out. And the Lord called him in evangelism. He was preaching 1974, September 30th, when I got saved. What a blessing. Amen. Mama was praying. False idols, brother. You can worship all kinds of things. But the Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. False worship. The flesh will get you. I mean, man, the eyes will get you. You know, the Bible says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know what happens to us? Pride of life. Lust of the eyes. That's why I was saying something about the beach. I said, I don't go to the beach. I don't go down there. I don't want to go down there near the beach because you see, the I just don't want to see. I don't want the lust to get going. So, preacher, you mean, yeah, if you got red blood in you, brother, that's why you ladies need to dress like a lady. Amen. It's important to dress like a lady so you don't cause some men to lust after you. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says that you should dress modest apparel. Be modest in your apparel. So I just don't like that. Well, you just don't like what God said. Yeah. You know what that tells me? You make excuses. You start justifying. You're backslid. You can get mad at God, get mad at a preacher. You say, all you preachers, all you preach on clothing. No, I'm not preaching on clothing. I'm just saying, man, you need to keep your heart and mind stayed on him. Amen. Amen. Hey, it's important. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Backslidden. The character of a backslider, you can always tell. It's a man or woman. You can always tell. And you notice I said, you can tell when somebody backslides on God. They always shirk their responsibilities. I've been pastoring here 31 years. I've got a responsibility. I got a responsibility to live for God. And we're responsible. As a child of God, we're responsible. And what happens when a child of God backsliding, they always say, oh, I don't mean nothing. I got a Sunday school class. That don't mean nothing. Oh, driving a bus or working a bus route. That don't mean nothing. You start saying, well, it ain't nothing. When it's God's work. You want to know how you know you're backsliding? The character of a backslider is when you start shirking and shucking your responsibility and saying, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else be one. You begin to find fault with everyone else. You start pointing your finger. Look at so-and-so. You start finding fault with everybody.
Yep.
Folks, when you start pointing your finger at everybody else, you got fingers pointing back at you.
Amen.
The character of a backslider. I don't know why I'm preaching this morning, but that's what God gave me. You reject the Word of God. You don't read it. And then it becomes a chore to read it. And then it becomes a chore to come to church. It becomes a chore to go to Wednesday night. It becomes a chore to come to Sunday night. It becomes a chore to you. That's how you know. The character. Your character is starting to waver. You say, oh, are you always joyful about the church? No. That's why I'm backslid. When I get in here and start singing songs, I start going, yeah. Thank you, Lord. He loses his desire to see people saved. The character backslider, you don't want to see people saved. You don't witness like you used to. You're in a hurry to get out of here. Always in a hurry. You know what consequences of a backslider? Depression. Depression. Indecisions. Not really sure about anything. The character, consequences. You just get, you know, undecided. When we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The curse of backsliding. You hurt society. You hurt your family. You hurt your neighbors. If your neighbor's ever going to get saved, the only Jesus they're going to see is in you. Jonah backslid. Guess what? He hurt everybody on that boat. You hurt yourself. You lose rewards. You hurt the Savior. Are you backslidden? The backslider shall be filled with his own way. Backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. He said, well, how do you get cured, preacher? You repent. Ask God to forgive you. You say, Lord, I'm prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. That's me, Lord. Just like Israel, I'm no better than they are. I'm no better. You know one thing, the difference between Israel and you and I? Is we're eternally secure. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Would you want to go home to heaven in a backslidden condition? Would you want the rapture to take place, the trumpet sound, we go out of here and you're in a bar? Or you're listening to something that you shouldn't be listening to? Or you're telling some dirty joke? Or you're living, your thought life is on something else? How are you going to find a way to, a man always tries to figure out a way around things. When Adam and Eve sinned, she just took the fruit. Adam waited out. He thought this. He thought, I'd rather die with her than live without her. So he took the fruit willingly. Eve was deceived. You know, men, if you get deceived, or if you sin, you might cause your wife to get deceived. Your children get deceived. Backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. I say, return to the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I would get things right. Throughout the rest of this summertime, I said, Lord, help me to stay right. There was a fellow that backslid on God. At first, he was on fire for God. He wrote a song. He wrote down this song, and he wrote it down, and he was so excited about it. He told everybody about it, how the Lord had given him this song. He wrote this song. And years, he got backslid, got mad at God about something. Something happened to his family. He got mad at God about something. And he backslid for years and years and years. And finally, he was talking to a young lady one day, and she was a joyful Christian girl. And she said, have you ever heard the writings of this words that somebody wrote down years ago? And she said, listen to the words. And she started reading the words to that song. He started weeping. And when he started weeping, she said, what's the matter? He said, I'm the one that penned those words down 30 years ago. I've been backslid on God. The name of the song was Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The man's name was Robinson. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Stay right with God. Because the Bible says, backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You don't want your own way. You want God's way. Amen. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, God, that you help. I'm just trying to help my brothers and sisters this morning. Not trying to hurt nobody.